Why couldn't Mary and Joseph join their work conference call?
No.
Because there was no Zoom at the inn.
Oh.
Oh. Over to you, Kate.
Thanks for that, David. Wonderful. Yes. Hopefully.
You made that.
You, oh, yeah. Is that a clap?
Yeah,
because I can't clap. Sorry. Okay. Has anyone got their advent ring with them?
Yes.
We're going to light three candles this morning. Or colour in your next candle. So light your candles.
Which shirt candles are we
using? Three of them are on the third Sunday. We're going to think about signs today, but not quite road signs. We're going to think about signs in the Bible as we lead up to Christmas. Okay, we're going to think a little bit about this, but we're going to do this first of all by David reading from the book of Isaiah.
So this is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel."
I don't know whether anyone knows that much about Middle Eastern history in the time of Isaiah, the time that that passage was read. Hopefully John will be able to put up a slide that might help us as we navigate our way through this passage. So don't know whether we know much about Middle Eastern history, but apparently in the passage we've read, much of it was about the vast Assyrian empire, an empire that was forever seeking to expand. Now for Ahaz, the star of our reading and the king of Judah, the Assyrian Empire didn't really bother him because firstly, they were far away. They were way up north of him. They were not a threat to him. And secondly, Syria and Israel were geographically in between Judah and Assyria. And so the chances of the Assyrian Empire setting their eye on Judah was very, very slim. The problem was that in the time of Ahaz, Assyria had set its eye on Syria and Israel, Judah's neighbours. They wanted to overpower them. They wanted to expand. They wanted to move south and get nearer to Judah. They wanted to have the influence of the area. And so the story goes that Pekah, leader of Israel, having become scared that the Assyrians would reach them and overpower them, had joined forces with King Rezin of Syria. And together, Rezin and Pekah had approached Ahaz and asked him to join them too, so that all three of them could stand against Assyria. Ahaz had, of course, refused, not, it seems, because Syria were actually enemies of God's people, but rather because he didn't think there was any immediate threat. However, having refused to join them, Israel and Syria then decided to attack Judah. They wanted to get rid of Ahaz and replace him with someone who would be more amenable to joining them in their quest against Assyria. And so Ahaz suddenly finds he has a problem. He needs to protect the people of God, not only from Assyria, but now from Israel and Syria too. After all, he is the leader of the house of David at this time. He is the leader of Judah. He resides in the holy city of Jerusalem. He is supposed to trust God and listen to him in times of trouble. But truth be told, he's scared. He's scared of his neighbours and he's scared of the situation he finds himself in, and he doesn't know what to do. And so he goes out to check the water supply to his city. He knows that the city itself is fortified. He knows that no one will get into Jerusalem. But if they run out of water, they'll be in trouble. And it's while he's checking the water that Isaiah appears with his son and a message from God. And what God says to Ahaz through Isaiah is basically this, that he has already condemned Syria and Israel because they have plotted against Judah, the people of God, that they are like two smouldering stubs of firewood already on their way out, and that Ahaz, the leader of Judah, is not to lose heart. He is not to put his own plans in place to fight these two countries because God has it all in hand. In fact, what Ahaz needs to do is trust God and these enemies will be defeated. And then when God has said all this to Ahaz, he offers him a sign, any sign. God says, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, so that you will know that I can be trusted and you can have faith in me. But Ahaz refuses. He comes up with some pious reason saying that God should not be tested. But in reality, it's because he's scared, because he knows that if he asks God for a sign, God will provide one. And when God provides a sign, Ahaz will then have to trust him in the face of his fears. Ahaz doesn't want a sign, but God provides one anyway. And the sign he provides is this: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Seems an odd sign to offer when facing war. For a start, it seems totally unrelated to the situation going on around. There's no mention of this sign before or immediately after. But when we read a bit further, we realise that what God is offering is a timescale of sorts. Because what God is saying to Ahaz is, there's a girl who will have a baby. We don't know who, we don't know why. But that by the time she has had this baby, and before it is old enough to know right from wrong, Syria and Israel will be laid waste by the hand of God. And so she will call the baby Emmanuel, which of course means God is with us. Because when Syria and Israel are destroyed, Judah will recognize that God has been with them and that through his hand, their enemies have been defeated. It's a strange sign, but for Judah, it is a sign of hope in the middle of Ahaz's fear and confusion. Because it's a sign that says if their leader trusts God, he will make sure Judah survives. And within months, or at the longest, a few years, this will all be over. Sadly, as history shows, Ahaz doesn't believe the sign. He doesn't trust God, but instead he trusts his fear and the powers around him. And in time, the Assyrians devastate Syria and then Israel before eventually invading Judah. But the sign, well, the sign, as we know, lived on. And so did the hope that the people of Judah had through that sign, until many, many years later, Jesus was born in Bethlehem as an answer to that prophecy. And so we move on to our second reading of this carol service, a reading that Val is going to do for us. It comes from the book of Matthew.
The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Thank you very much, Val. The story goes that at first Joseph wasn't too happy when Mary announced she was pregnant. And really, who can blame him? They were waiting to get married. He knew the baby wasn't his. And yet here Mary was saying that the baby was from God. It had come to her through the Holy Spirit. I mean, he probably heard a few excuses, but really, Holy Spirit, miraculous child soon to be born to a virgin. It's hardly news you would want everyone to be talking about. Truth be told, Joseph was scared. Mary could be stoned for what she had done, and Joseph would be shamed for not keeping control of his wife. He was scared. But Joseph was also a righteous man. He didn't want to cause Mary more problems, so he decided to set the marriage aside quietly and move on to someone less complicated. However, while he was thinking about this, he had a rather strange dream, a dream in which an angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him not to be afraid. Not to be scared of this strange situation he found himself in, because this was God's doing. And instead, Joseph should go with it, marry Mary and take her and the baby into his home. And when the baby is born, he should call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Or if you like, this baby will do what the Jews have been longing and hoping for years. He will fulfill the sign of Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, Ahaz, of course, had been given that same sign many, many years before when he was fearful when he was scared. But of course, he had shied away from it. He had chosen to trust his own powers and be guided by the powers around him. But Joseph, well, Joseph was different. And the moment he woke from his dream and realized that God had given him a sign, that God had entrusted to him and Mary the hope in their darkness, he chose to trust not his own instincts or fears, but the words of God, God's promises, God's sign that the Messiah was finally here. And so he took Mary home as his wife. And when she gave birth to a son, he gave him the name Jesus. Or if you like, unlike Ahaz, Joseph chose to trust God when fear could have overwhelmed him. And the rest, as they say, is history. Or is it? I mean, we've heard about Ahaz. We've heard about Joseph. But what has all this got to do with us today, thousands of years later? What's it got to do with our Christmas this year in 2020? The story goes that today we are facing a pandemic. Today life is different. It's restricted. It's difficult, to say the least. Today we often feel, or should I say, we're more aware of our feelings because we have less to distract us from our fear and our despair. We try to fight it, of course. We try to defy it. We try to think up new things to overcome it. But on a level sometimes hidden even from us, we face a situation that is scary. It has affected all that we know and wreaked havoc on all that we have planned. There is disappointment upon disappointment. We grieve for the things that we have lost. And yet for Christmas, as Amazon there so rightly points out in their advert, which I really like, we're being told to act like the show must go on. We are telling the virus to stop infecting people for 5 days because we want celebrations. We want presents. We want time together as family and friends. We want Christmas as we always want Christmas, to be perfect. Because on some level, we believe that if we can have Christmas, there is hope. Hope that one day things will be okay. Truth be told, we are scared. Scared that things will never really be okay again. And so we're grabbing at what we can. The irony, of course, is that the message of Christmas is that everything doesn't have to be okay, but rather that whether everything is okay or not, God is here. This was what Isaiah prophesied to Ahaz when he was on the verge of war. Emmanuel, God is with us. This is what the angel said to Joseph when he faced fear and disruption. Emmanuel, God is with us. And this, in the midst of a pandemic, is what God calls us to believe today. Emmanuel, God is with us. That whether we have a good Christmas or a very disrupted, unusual Christmas, when Jesus was born on earth, the sign to us was that God is here. He forever will be here. And that today he asks us simply to trust him, not to trust our own strength and be guided by the powers and fears around us, but to trust God, who promises he will bring us through. Because like Ahaz and Joseph before us, in the face of our fear, this is our hope. This is our hope today. Whatever we face, and whatever situations we find ourselves in, we're going to say the grace together. Uh-huh. May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you ever. Always.
Okay. Amen. Amen.